Hey everybody, you're all cordially invited to eat Christmas dinner with two enormous fat people named Cliff and Kendall. No RSVP necessary, just come on in. Oh, there's the Christmas dinner bell. Better hurry up.
Oh, come on in here, Mr. Pod, Mr. Snowbottom.
Yes, Kendall boy.
Oh, Mrs.
Oh, dear, I think this is a lovely idea.
Oh, Mrs. Butter 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 Chin, I'm so glad you could join us here. I'm trying to get situated here.
This studio was not made to eat dinner in.
Exactly, boys. That's what I've been telling you the whole time. Entire run of the show.
Now, Kendall, we act as though we've never eaten anything in here before. When the listeners have phonographic evidence to the contrary, we're eating here all the damn time.
Oh, damn, that's why there's crumbs everywhere.
I tried to get Kendall to brush off the seats, but he won't do it. He was too busy entertaining the visions of sugar plums in his head. It's Christmas dinner in the studio. Kendall and Mr. Snodbottom and Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Joan and I, we're all here to wish you, listening at home, just the very merriest Christmas. We're so glad you could join us for Christmas dinner this year.
I love having Christmas dinner, and I couldn't think of anybody better to have Christmas dinner with than our listeners.
Oh, yeah.
And Cliff, and Mrs. Snodbottom, and Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Turn.
Oh, yeah.
So that's why I thought we should do this with the listeners and come into the booth, because as you say, we're eating here all the time. Why not have Christmas dinner? It's our favorite place to be.
Exactly. It is. It's our favorite place to be. When I think of my happy place in the world, Kendall and everybody, I just think of right here with you guys on a Christmas dinner show. That's my happy place.
Well, Mrs. Potter Butter Churn, what is the proper etiquette? When should we start eating?
Yes, dear.
Well, does everyone have something to eat?
Yes.
Of course, I've got something to eat.
You know, we do. And everyone's here, correct?
Yes, everyone's here. Wishing out the invitations as though it requires an invitation for just an intimate party of four.
Well, dear, then it's time to eat. Let's eat, dears.
Yeah, dig in.
Because I can't wait to try some of this stuff while we're talking. Now, Cliff, where do you usually... Now, I know this year we're having Christmas dinner here in the studio. Where do you usually have Christmas dinner at?
You know, I oftentimes have Christmas dinner at a relative's house, usually my grandparents' house, my grandmother, and so I'm not there this year, but I'm beamed in via satellite, I think, but I told them I don't want to be able to hear them. They can hear me, but I don't want to hear them, so I may be satelliting to them today. I don't know. Merry Christmas to everybody, family, if I am.
Oh, you mean today? I was like, this Christmas season, they're beaming you in with satellite?
It's a conference call. It's simply what it is. Austin stayed behind. Cliff wouldn't let him go home for Christmas, of course.
Well, I need him to press the buttons for the conference call or whatever it is so my family can hear me on Christmas Day.
You think we know how to use a conference call machine?
Anyway, all I know how to use the phone for is, of course, to call and order pizza.
Mrs. Potter Butter Churn, I just have to say that the sweet potato casserole is the most amazing thing I've ever eaten in my life. Dear, thank you. It's a secret recipe from my great-grandmother.
I love that just thick layer of marshmallows on the top. That's what I love. I love it's about 4 inches of marshmallows and about 12 centimeters of sweet potatoes down below it. And that's
dear,
I say
you have to really work for it for something good.
Yeah.
Oh, you're correct.
I love it. It's one of my favorite dishes that I look forward to all year long, boys.
Yes. Oh, it's a sweet potato casserole.
Hey, guys. Sorry. I didn't mean to be so late.
Oh, my God. Kendall.
I was overslept. You know, I was at a friend's house last night, and I told him to wake me up at a reasonable time, but of course he didn't. He was passed out still when I left. I'm not sure the whole deal with that. Ooh, boy. Oh,
Charles, take a breath, dear. Are you okay?
Yeah, well, I'm doing I'm all right, all the way over, I was like, oh, man, damn it. Damn it, Charles. You're leaving them late. They invite you to Christmas
Charles.
They're waiting on you.
Charles. Well, Charles, don't worry about it. Just take a load off and have a seat.
Down here. I'll get you a plate.
Yeah, Kendall is, you know, Kendall's just so fat. It looks like there's not a place for you, but there is. It's right in between us. So here, just sidle up, Miss Spotted Butter Bird, trying to get me a plate.
Oh, here you go, dear.
Hey, thanks. What's that? What's that white glop over there? I'll have a big spoonful of that. Kendall's bring me a big white.
Oh, that's mashed potatoes, Charles.
Yeah, they're good. They're good.
I don't know if there any ham or bacon or beef of any sort around. There's a roast beef over here that Mrs. Potter has been roasting for days, which is like a slash bone.
Oh, dear, I've been basting for hours.
If I ate meat,
Mrs. Potter Butterchurn, that would be the most wonderful thing on the plate.
Well, it's just very picturesque, even just to look at it in like
Norman
sort of old-fashioned. Yeah, I feel like Norman Rockwell.
Yeah, give me a big old slab of that.
Please, hold, let me do that for you, dear.
Oh, my dear.
Oh, Charles.
Wouldn't be Christmas if we weren't here in the studio, Kendall, having Christmas dinner.
There wasn't food everybody on the floor.
Listeners wouldn't know what show they'd tuned into
if
there weren't food on the floor.
Yes. My.
Oh, but anyway, you know.
Mrs. Potter Butter Churn went to get a rag. She couldn't take it anymore. Cliff, I don't even know what we're talking about. Christmas dinner.
I'm sorry, guys. Sorry about
it's
that.
Okay.
No, don't worry about it, boys. Christmas is a season of forgiveness and peace and goodwill and all those sorts of things.
Oh, yes.
Exactly. That is exactly the point, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn is coming right up. Do you have that? Let me just see that rag over here for a second, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter
Churn. I've got it. I really do. Oh, thank you, dear. Thank you.
No problem. Everybody? Well, got it? Here you go, Charles.
Okay. Charles, why don't you get a fresh plate?
Yeah, Charles, that one has something from Kendall's shoe on it, and he has several dogs. So I don't know. But anyway, Kendall, it's a merry, merry Christmas here. It's a Christmas dinner. We're getting a new plate here any second for all of our guests. And I don't know, what else is on the docket for today, Kendall?
Oh my
God! Sorry.
Hey, it wouldn't be. Don't
Merry Christmas!
That. Oh my!
Len Sex Live.
I now regret saying what I said about the season of forgiveness, boy. I can't forgive behavior.
Oh, Mr. Snobby,
behavior like that.
Don't even worry about this. This is our show. This is our show, and that's no joke.
Oh. Oh, all right, let's see. Shall I go first, Cliff, at this Christmas dinner? I don't even want to set my food down long enough to tell a joke.
I don't want to set my food down long enough either, Kendall. Cliff, you can just go right ahead.
Cliff, let's see. This man goes to the doctor, and the doctor told him that masturbating before sex often helped men last longer during sex.
Boom.
And Mrs. Potter Butterchurn, I'm sorry to be telling this joke, but it's, trust me, it's hilarious.
Oh.
So the man decided, what the hell, I'll try it. So he spent the rest of the day thinking about where to do it. Oh, my. He couldn't do it in his office. He thought about the restroom, but that was too open. So he considered an alley, but figured that was too unsafe. So finally he realized the solution on his way home. He pulled his truck over the side of the highway, got out, crawled underneath as if he was examining it, and satisfied with the privacy...
Sorry, God. I had my phone going off.
Charles.
Oh, no.
Everything okay?
Oh, man, I got a text. I got a contract and a call. I got to go. There's a leaky hose underneath the house. I got to go.
Dear, please don't worry about it. No, go take care of it, dear.
It's fine.
I got to seal it up.
It's fine.
It's okay.
Don't worry about it. Here you go. I'll get the door for you, Charles.
Charles, I don't know what to say except I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
Oh, I'll be so blue just thinking about you.
Decoration the red on a green Christmas tree. Same, Charles, if you're not contracting with me. And when those blue snowflakes start falling.
Well, that's when those blue memories start calling. Well, you'll be doing all right with your Christmas white.
But I'll have a blue, 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 blue Christmas.
Oh, it's blue.
You know, Charles, I hate to see you leave Christmas dinner, but life comes a-calling. Isn't that right, Kendall?
Well, you know, sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do. And this is one of those times. There'll be dinner when you get back.
Because Kendall and I, we always have leftovers.
Well, if Cliff and I don't eat them. But we'll try really hard.
You'll be doing all right with your Christmas of white. But I'll have a blue, 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 blue Christmas. Gosh, Charles, I just hate to see you leave.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Charles. I hate, oh, Kendall, I hate Christmas. That he had to leave.
Well, I was right in the middle of a joke, too.
I hate that he had to leave when you're in the middle of a joke like that.
So I'll pick up right where I left off, Cliff. This man who wanted to masturbate, remember him? He crawled underneath his truck as if he was working on it. And satisfied now with his privacy, he undid his pants and he started to masturbate. So he closed his eyes and thought of his lover, and as he got, you know, closer and closer to climax, he felt a tug at the bottom of his pants. And not wanting to lose his mental fantasy or the orgasm, he kept his eyes shut and said, "What?" And he heard, "This is the police. What's going on down there?" And the man said, "Well, I'm checking out the rear axle. It's busted." And then the police said, "Well, you might want to check your brakes, too, while you're down there, because your truck rolled down the hill 5 minutes ago."
You just might want to check up.
You know, I used to own a vehicle with a brake problem.
Oh, that's so interesting, Mr. Snodbottom.
Oh, it is, Mr. Snodbottom. I love those stories about your old cars, Mr. Snodbottom. But what I have to break in right now is and tell everybody is about this
breaking
woman. Bulletin, everybody. There was a woman who walked into a pharmacy, and she walked right up to the prescription order here counter.
Oh, no, she
didn't. Oh, yes, she did. And Kendall, I want you to... And Mr. Snodbottom, Mrs. Puddlebutt, I want you to just admit right now, you don't know where this joke is going.
Dear, I don't know where any of your jokes are going.
Neither do I.
Nor this show, dear. Most of the time, I'm confused.
Oh, we're all confused.
Yeah.
None more than the host. I need some cyanide or some chemical like it to kill my husband, this woman said.
Oh, my dear.
Ma'am, you can't just walk in here and order chemicals like that. It's against the law also to kill your husband.
It's also improper etiquette.
Yeah, and she searches around in her purse and produces a manila folder, and there's a twist coming up, everybody. She pulls out something and hands it to the pharmacist, and guess what? Lifetime movie of the week is what this is going to be. It's a photo of her husband having... intercourse with the pharmacist's wife.
Oh, no.
Pharmacist's wife, everybody. And the pharmacist replies, "Oh, well, I didn't know you had a prescription." Murder, most foul. Coming up next.
Coming up next. Oh, everyone, Merry Christmas. And here's a joke. A young boy.
Merry Christmas to us all.
God bless us, everyone. A young boy enters a barbershop, and the barber whispers to the customer, "This is the dumbest kid in the world. Watch while I prove it to you." So the barber puts a dollar bill on one hand and two quarters in the other, and then he calls the boy over and says, "Which do you want, son?" And the boy takes the quarters and he runs out. And the barber says, "What did I tell you?" Kid never learns. So later, when the customer leaves, he sees the same young boy coming out of the ice cream store. He said, "Hey, may I ask you a question? Why did you take the quarters instead of the dollar bill?" And the boy licked his ice cream cone and said, "Because the day I take the dollar, the game is over."
Ooh,
he was a smart
game
kid.
Over, Kendall.
What a clever young chap.
Game over, everybody. Kendall, Mr. Snodbottom, and Mrs. Butterbutterbutterchurn.
Yes,
and you, listener at home.
Yeah.
There was an old lady who tottered into a lawyer's, a blessed lawyer's office.
Blessed old lady and, here.
This is a blessed joke, everybody. It was on Christmas Eve, by the way.
How blessed.
And asked for help in arranging a divorce.
The
lawyer says, a divorce? Tell me, how old are you? And the lady says, well, I'm 84. 84? How old is your husband? Well, my husband is 87. My, said the lawyer.
My.
And how long? How long have you been married? Well, next September, it'll be 62 years. Married 62 years? Why would you want a divorce now? Well, because, says the woman calmly, enough is enough.
Oh, even after 62 years, enough is enough.
Enough is enough. You know, if you ever, our listeners, that's one thing that they'll never say about our show. Enough is enough. Too much.
Not the listeners
is never
listening,
enough.
Because the ones that started listening when they said enough is enough right off the bat. Cliff.
You know, they play this show in old folks' homes in hopes that the old folks will just slip away faster because they'll just and they'll get the free up the beds. Because it's just like, they'll listen to the show and they're like, I just gotta move on to that next life. I just wanna melt back into the stream and be the snowflake that I am.
It'll scare away their soul. Cliff, a helicopter
yes.
carrying passengers suddenly loses engine power and the aircraft begins to descend. The pilot safely performs an emergency landing in the water and tells the passengers to remain seated and to keep the doors closed, stating that in an emergency situation, this aircraft is designed to stay aloft or stay afloat for 30 minutes, giving rescuers time to get to them. Well, just as the man gets out of his seat and runs over the door, the pilot says, "Didn't you hear what I said? The aircraft is designed to stay afloat as long as the doors remain closed." And the guy says, "Of course I heard you, but it's also designed to fly, and look how good that worked out." Oh, dear. He really showed him.
Yeah. Now that's a joke I like. A joke about airplanes, man.
Oh, dear, he does love airplanes.
That is a hobby of mine. All
right. Well, Mr. Snowbottom,
okay.
What I want to ask you and everybody else is, how does an Irish potato change its nationality?
Oh, dear, I have no clue.
It gets French fried, and how can you have bread if you are on a liquid diet?
Oh, I don't know. Tell me.
Oh, drink a toast.
Amen.
Everybody else, how do you make a slow horse fast?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, you stop feeding him, and then finally, Kendall, how many on Christmas Day, how many eyes are there in Mississippi? Your reply is, I don't know, Cliff. I don't know. That's what you're supposed to say.
I don't know, Cliff. Why would I know that?
Oh, good. Damn it, you just count the people and then multiply by two.
Oh.
Ooh. I love humor about multiplication, innocent educational things like that.
Oh, dear. I think it's a prudent time to take a break while I go get a second course.
Lovely idea.
What a lovely idea. Go. All right, we'll be right back after this, listeners.
Don't touch that dial. There's more sass on the way. Stay tuned for more Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
Now, here's a real solution to many of your Christmas shopping problems. If your friends smoke a long cigarette, give the best of long cigarettes, Fatima. Give Fatima for quality. The name Fatima has always stood for the best in cigarette quality. Give Fatima for flavor. Give Fatima. They're extra mild. So give Fatima for Christmas in the attractive golden yellow carton. It's the long cigarette that has doubled and redoubled its smokers. Yes, more and more smokers every day agree. Fatima is the best of all long cigarettes.
And now back to the show.
Chestnuts.
All right, well, we're back, and while we were on break, Mrs. Potter Butterturn brought in four different pies, and they look amazing. Thank you, dear. Oh, I've got a pumpkin pie, a pecan pie, an apple pie, and a strudel.
Oh, I'm having some strudel, and I'm having a few of these butternut rye krispies. She also brought in a tray of those that Austin baked for us early this morning.
I've been eating those all day.
Well, I didn't say this was the first that I've had them. I said, I'm just having more. I'm having more, because when it comes to Christmas, Kendall, more the merrier. It's what Christmas is.
It's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
It's what...
Oh dear, not here at the table, please.
Clip, are you on Christmas Day?
Oh yeah. Huh. What? What?
So,
Kendall, what's your Christmas wish this year?
My Christmas wish?
Yeah, what's your Christmas wish this year?
Same damn wish I have every year, and that's to lose a million damn pounds. Yes. That's my Christmas wish. That's my Christmas wish. I don't know. I mean, that and world peace, I guess.
Yeah. Either or. Whichever.
Not either or. Let's be honest here. Let's be honest for a
moment. I'd rather be skinny. I'd be skinny.
I'd rather be in turmoil and skinny. I'll go fight in the war if I'm tiny and skinny.
Well, I would be a vocal advocate for peace. As a thin person. I think a lot of people would listen to me as a thin person.
Yeah, they sure as hell don't listen to us right now as bad people.
No, they don't. No, they don't. The numbers don't lie. Kendall, you know what else doesn't lie?
Stupid. What?
The Christmas spirit in our heart. And
that's not stupid.
It's not stupid, Kendall, but you know what it is?
Our
show. And these stupid Christmas questions.
It's time for Kendall's stupid questions.
Oh,
dear, I love this part. It's so sad that Charles had to leave.
I know. I hate that maybe he'll come back.
All right, Cliff. If you could create and sell an ice cream, especially for the Christmas season, what flavor would you make it?
What flavor? I feel like they already make all the good Christmas flavors.
Well, maybe there's one out there that he hadn't had. Like eggnog batter.
Eggnog batter. I like candy cane ice cream. I like eggnog ice cream. I don't know. A new one, sugar plum, fruitcake.
Okay. Pine flavored ice cream.
Pine.
Evergreen.
Cinnamon spice. Yeah.
Cliff, what is your favorite holiday commercial or advertisement?
My favorite holiday commercial or advertisement would, of course, be. Do you remember the old McDonald's commercial where it's Ronald McDonald, he's ice skating with all the kids and all the characters in the snow-covered landscape? It's just so beautiful.
No, it's so sweet, dear. Yes, that I love that one. All right, Cliff, if you could create a sequel to any Christmas movie ever produced, which one would you choose and what would be the plot? While you're thinking on that, I'm going to eat some more macaroni.
I'll eat some. You know, here's what I really would do. I would have made another Home Alone, but with Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, yeah.
That would be good. Home Alone 2 is solid. So
it's
when
a solid
Home Alone,
piece of
it's an
cinema.
Excellent piece of film craftsmanship. And it is. It really is. Yeah. Tim Curry. Come on. Come on, everybody.
No, I do. I do like Home Alone 2. I would do Christmas Vacation 2, even though they've done like a sequel to Christmas Vacation.
Made one, yeah.
But I would make it and just, you know, with Clark and, you know. Oh, dear.
See, there are none where we want to make a new sequel. We just want to correctly do the sequel.
Well,
that have already
exactly,
been made.
Yeah. And finally, Mr. Sonbottom's been asleep so long. Cliff, if you had to describe your person...
Well, I don't even notice it anymore. I'm so used to him being
Well, it's all the food. You know, he's so full.
I guess there's tryptophan even in ham. I don't know.
There's tryptophan in anything he eats. Cliff, if you had to describe your personality in terms of a Christmas object, which object would you choose?
Well, I would say a Christmas tree.
That's the world's largest Christmas tree.
World's largest Christmas tree. Or the obesity of Santa Claus.
Santa Claus, that would work. Because my cheeks are rosy and I shake like a bowl full of jelly.
Fat man's coming, fat man's coming, fat, 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 fat.
Damn straight I do. Every day, every day's Christmas Day when you talk in terms of the way my belly shakes.
Like a bowl full of jelly. That's all the time for Kendall's stupid questions.
Kendall,
sorry
I
to
love,
wake you up, Mr.
Snodbottom. I love the stupid questions. I'm ready to hear the stupid questions.
Oh, Mr. Snodbottom, you missed them. More. You missed them. We just finished.
They're over. They're over. Kendall, you didn't even ask Mr. Snodbottom or Mrs. Potter Butterchurn any stupid questions.
Oh, because I did not want to ask such wonderful people such stupid questions.
You didn't want to ask
dear,
such,
thank you.
Or such sleeping people. Such
well, it's hard
questions.
To ask questions to people that are sleeping.
Yes, well, it's Christmas dinner after all, and I had a large portion of roast before I came along into the booth.
Roast beast.
Well, that's okay.
Now
it's
everyone,
okay.
I did set up, with Christmas dinner before we came in here, I set up the trolley track. It comes right through here, and I see the trolley coming down the tracks right now.
Here, trolley.
Don't scare the trolley off.
Here comes trolley. Here comes the trolley. Here comes the trolley.
Oh,
right
hello,
down the trolley.
Are you having a wonderful Christmas?
Ooh. Oh, he is.
Well, that's
we
delightful.
Are too.
Oh, and that's so cute. And he's in a little tiny little trolley sweater.
Oh,
how beautiful. Well, why don't we go ahead and travel to Busheltown and find out what's going on?
Why don't we do it, everybody? It's probably Christmas there too.
Let's go. This week's journey to Busheltown is called The Girl Who Loved Christmas Very Much. Perhaps too much, if you think a thing like that's possible. We begin our story on New Main Dirt Road in downtown Busheltown. The city is bustling this evening with folks heading in and out of shops all along the street. Busheltownians here all over the town are making arrangements to be quite merry soon indeed, for it's almost Christmas. A girl of around 32 was walking down Old Dirt Road this late December evening. Her name was Millie, and she loved Christmas very much. Perhaps too much, if you think a thing like that's possible. She had finished her holiday shopping a week before, but was out this night simply because she loved being around people so close to Christmas. That's just one example of how much she loved Christmas. Millie stood a moment amid the cheerful shoppers and basked in the Christmassiness of it all. She heard carolers playing their trade down the street. Children were pointing at shiny objects in store windows and instantly regretting having asked Santa for that inferior product. A big fat St. Nicholas stood in the corner ringing a bell for the Salvation Army. Hell, even the stoplights were red and green. Millie felt endorphins rush through her body, endorphins she liked to call Dasher, Dancer, Prancer, Vixen, Comet, Cupid, Donner, and Blitzen. At this point, she was pretty much glowing with Christmas spirit. A localized Aurora Borealis was Millie. She radiated warmth and good cheer as she made her way down the street. As Millie walked, she browsed, and it happened that her eye was caught by something in the window of McPhershing's Dry Goodery.
I've never seen one like that before! Clerk? Clerk?
Yes, ma'am?
I came inside to ask you about the object in your window. It's so unique! I don't think I've seen one like it before!
Well, you mean that solid gold bedpan in the shape of a swan?
Oh no, my mother has at least 5 golden swan bedpans in her attic in Smackover. I mean the oil lamp. It's shaped like a little elf slipper.
Oh, well that'll be $16.95. Are you paying cash or charge? Do you need that gift wrap?
Wait, can you tell me where you found it? It's probably the most exceptional thing I've ever seen. And also, I should tell you before I forget, as though I could, I love Christmas, so I hope you have a merry one.
Well, thanks, but I don't know where the elf slipper oil lamp came from. It just showed up here like all our dry goods. Now, is that cashing or charge?
What the clerk didn't know was that the elf slipper oil lamp had not gotten there like all the other dry goods in the store. It had actually appeared out of thin air 1 hour before Millie walked by the window. Millie, of course, didn't know that either. But she would soon find out something else she didn't know. Of course, she didn't know that yet. Millie walked home down the gaily lit streets. A light snow began to fall as she reached her door. She stood on her porch for a moment, watching the slowly falling flakes and listening to the choir rehearse in the snake-handling church that neighbored her own property. Her bosom swelled with holiday spirit as she was so moved that a single tear fell from her left eye. The tear traveled down Millie's cheek and then quickly froze in the frosty night air.
This night has been so Christmassy. And now I've got a frozen tear on my cheek. My great-grandparents used to say that a frozen tear was lucky. So lucky you could make a wish on it. I know just what I'll wish for. I hereby wish on this frozen tear for the most Christmassy thing of all. I wish that the spirit of goodwill towards humankind could really enter everyone's heart this year, and that goodwill will cause all wars to cease and world peace will become a reality. Oh, well, hope that works.
Millie walked inside and made herself a cup of hot cocoa. As she sat by her fireside, Christmas records spinning in the background, she sipped her cocoa and studied her new acquisition.
This elf slipper oil lamp is one singular Christmas sensation, all right. But this cocoa I just made ain't half bad either. Oh, whoops! Oh, darn! I spilled cocoa all over my new elf slipper oil lamp! I better wipe it with this cloth I always keep handy. Oh, oh my! Oh my goodness! What's happening?
I'm a Christmas genie. I bet that you didn't know we had those, did you?
I don't think I've ever heard of one. But I do admit I'm processing a lot right now. You just popped out of my elf slipper oil lamp.
And now I get to grant you one Christmas wish. So will it be?
Well, you'll be glad to know I just wished for world peace not more than 5 minutes ago, so that's all taken care of. And plus, I bet you're tired of people wishing for world peace.
Oh yeah, I get that one all the time. All the time!
You know, I love Christmas. I just love it so much. I love the Christmas trees and the music, the lights, and the joy that seems to fill people's hearts, my heart anyway. Each year around Christmas time.
Oh, me too! Me too!
I'd like to be a part of that. A part of Christmas always. Does that make sense? Is that too vague?
Oh no, sweetie. Christmas nonstop. I got you covered. Here you go.
Oh, wow!
What Millie didn't know was that this particular Christmas genie was evil. He preyed on the innocent of all year long, and it was Millie that was caught in his Yuletide crosshairs this time. The evil genie would indeed fulfill Millie's wish, but in a wicked twist, his plan was so diabolical that it would torture her as well.
Where am I? It's so bright. Am I in heaven? Am I one with the heavenly host? Wait, it's starting to come into focus now. I'm in a living room. Whose living room is this? And why am I so small and in the air? What? I'm on a Christmas tree! I'm the angel on top of the Christmas tree!
Now you're good Christmas all the time.
Oh, this is wonderful. I just love it.
Well, you won't love it for long. Here comes the crappy family that owns this Christmas tree.
Oh, well, I'm a Christmas angel on top of the tree. I'm bringing joy to this family, who can't be that crappy. And even though they can't hear me, I'll just shine. I'll shine like the angel I now am.
What the evil Christmas genie hadn't known was that Millie was quite contented to shine on top of the Christmas tree as an angel, one of the most beautiful of all Christmas symbols. Still, the evil genie thought he had one shot left at making Millie miserable. A few days later...
Oh, what a wonderful Christmas it was! This is probably what the real angel felt like after the birth of the baby Jesus. I loved it!
But how will you love this? Look at what's happening now!
What? Oh, my family is putting away the ornaments and decorations! Oh, Christmas is over! This is so sad! What will I do in a box for 11 months?
Gotcha now!
Oh my!
Hey, Millie!
What's that, elf ornament?
Don't fret. I bet we'll be in a big box together.
Oh, that will be just wonderful. With you, and the snowman ornament, the Santa, and the dear little Rudolph ornament too. Oh, a year spent with my new friends.
What?
Don't forget me, Millie. Me and my 36 brothers.
Oh, ball ornament. How could I forget the 37 of you? This is so much better than my old life. I was a heroin addict and owed over $75,000 in student loans.
And Millie, we always spend the year talking about how great next Christmas is going to be.
Oh, that sounds like such fun. I'm still so full of the Christmas spirit.
So it seems Millie got her wish after all. She was a Christmas angel and she would always be a part of Christmas. She also got her own wish. Her frozen teardrops spread joy and cheer unto all corners of the earth. Weapons became plowshares and all nations laid down their arms and joined the brotherhood of man. Truly, it could be said, there was then peace on earth. That's all for this week's Journey to Busheltown. Now back to you, Cliff and Kendall. Oh, wonderful. Oh, dear, that was a lovely story. And he loved it too.
One wonderful journey and a wonderful dinner. I want to thank Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn for making this wonderful roast and sweet potato casserole.
Oh, absolutely. Everything
dear is wonderful.
Oh, of thank course, you it's so wonderful. Much, dear. It's my pleasure to
I'm
cook for my lovely family.
Here.
Oh, we
I'm
are
still
family.
Eating over here.
Well, hey, I didn't say I wasn't finished. Mrs. Snobbottom just wanted to thank her for it. I'm going to eat for hours.
Yeah.
Oh, dear, there's plenty to go around. Well,
oh, yeah.
And Cliff, it's so sad that tomorrow we're going to be in food pain all day long.
It is. It is so sad, Kendall. It's so, so, so sad.
So sad. I'm almost out of this plate. I have to go refill. Cliff, if our listeners love Christmas as much as we do, or as much as Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn and Mr. Snodbottom do, go to cliffandkendall.blogspot.com, facebook.com/cliffandkendall, email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com, or give us a call on our fat line at 818-308-4FAT.
Of course they should, Kendall.
Do it!
Oh, for the good old days when people would stop Christmas shopping when they ran out of money, and that was said by who? But an unknown Arthur.
Unknown Arthur. Will he ever be known?
No, I don't think so. Cliff, take a Christmas miracle.
Cliff, Mrs. Potter Butter Butterchurn, Mr. Snodbottom, as we struggle with shopping lists and invitations, compounded by December's bad weather, it is good to be reminded that there are people in our lives who are worth this aggravation, and people to whom we are worth the same. And that was Donald Westlake. And that's the truth about every single one of you here eating Christmas dinner with me.
Yes. Kendall and everybody, once again, we come to the holiday season, a deeply religious time that each of us observes in his own way by going to the mall of his choice. And that was said by another, always unknown, but never unappreciated author.
But never forgotten.
No, never forget that author.
Oh, dears, I have a quote, if I may. Oh, I would love it. I just want to quote Charles Dickens, dear, and Tiny Tim. God bless us, everyone.
Bless us, everyone.
Oh, how lovely.
Life is full of sweet surprises. Every day's a gift.
The sun comes up and I can feel it lift my spirit.
Fills me up with laughter, fills me up with song.
I look into the eyes of love and know that I belong.
Bless us all who gather here.
The loving family I hold dear.
No place on earth compares with home.
And every path will bring me back from where I roam.
Bless us all, that as we live, we always comfort and forgive. We have so much that we can share.
With those in need we see around us everywhere.
Let us always love each other.
Lead us to the light.
Let us hear the voice of reason
singing in the night.
Let us run from anger.
And catch us when we fall.
And teach us in our dreams. And please, yes, please,
bless us one and all.
Bless us all with playful years,
with noisy games and joyful tears.
We reach for you and we stand tall. And in our prayers and dreams
we ask you bless us all.
We reach for you and we stand tall.
And in our prayers and dreams we ask you bless us all.
Blessed everyone, Kendall and Mrs. Potter, Butter Butter Churn, and Mr. Snodbottom. No matter how carefully you stored the lights last year, they will be snarled again this Christmas. And that was said by Robert Kirby. Isn't that the truth? How does that happen?
I don't know. It's how, like, over the year, it just like
happen.
Wiggles around. All right, Cliff, why don't you go ahead and take us home down those snowy, Christmassy roads?
Kendall, I'm going to take us home down those snowy, windswept, snowblown roads. But before I do, Kendall, I want to just let everybody know how much I really care for everybody here in the studio today and how blessed we all are to be together, to have Christmas dinner here.
Oh, yes, dear.
Together.
Well, we all are blessed.
We're so blessed.
That is so
and
correct,
as,
dear.
As you said, and as Teeny Tammy said last Christmas, God bless us, everyone. Everyone.
Oh, thanks so much for having us for Christmas dinner, listeners. We'll see you here next week.
Oh.
Goodbye, dears. Merry Christmas.
Hey, guys. Is there food left? I made it back.
Dear, come with me. Let's go get a plate.
I'm kind of glad he came back.
Oh.
For Christmas. Everybody needs to come home for Christmas, Kendall. Bless us all, everyone. Everyone.
Thanks for listening to today's show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.